Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
On this recording, you will be listening to the preaching or teaching of God's Word at Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. We pray that the Spirit of God will edify you as you listen to this recording.
Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 106. Let's read a little scripture. Let's read beginning with verse 12. And now what you're reading is you're reading a little of the history of Israel. And so we're cutting in the middle of this context with a very important passage, Psalm 106 and verse 12. The Bible says, "Then believe they his words." That's something right there. "Then believe they his words, they sang his praise." That's what we've just been doing. "They soon forgat his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. They envied Moses also in the camp, and Aaron the saint of the Lord. The earth opened and swallowed up Dathan and covered the company of Abiram. And a fire was kindled in their company. The flame burned up the wicked. They made a calf in Horeb and worshipped in the molten image. Thus they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. They forgot God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham and terrible things by the Red Sea. Therefore he said that he would destroy them had not Moses his chosen stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath lest he should destroy them. Yea, they despised the pleasant land, they believed not his word, but murmured in their tents and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord." How did that happen? Look at verse 24 again. I read right through it. And having read enough scripture, it's sometimes hard to concentrate on something you saw. Verse 24 at the end, "they believed not his word." Verse 12 at the beginning, "then believe they his word." How do you go from "then believe they his words" to "they believe not his word"? How do you do that in less than a generation? How does this happen? And the answer is in the text. And we want to see that answer because it is very important not only to know the history of apostasy, a falling away. Not only to know the history of apostasy that took place in Israel, but to recognize it when it's happening under your own nose, even in your house, so that it doesn't happen to you. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, fill us with your Holy Spirit. The work here that it must be done is divine work. It cannot be done by a man, though you use men to accomplish this. It's the work of your Holy Spirit. I'm asking you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, fill us so that we say the things you want us to say, avoid those things that don't need to be said. And Father, may you be glorified in the whole matter. May our minds be sharpened, our hearts softened, and our very wills contrite and broken to do thy will. We ask you to do these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What do you do here? How do you get into this situation? You know, they went from "then believe they his words" to "they believe not his word," and they were still out in the wilderness. You're dealing with a generation of people that died out in there and their children came in. They lost this in a short period of time. And you know something? Whenever we've talked about going into apostasy or no longer believing the words of God, typically we run right to Genesis chapter 3 and we see how the devil attacked the words of God against Eve to get her to sin. How he caused her to doubt it, how they subtracted from the Word of God, added to the Word of God, changed the Word of God, lied about the Word of God, and they didn't believe it. But you know, that is his particular attack on the words. There's something else that goes on around that that gets the heart of a country or a heart of an individual conditioned to do this sin here, this problem. And we're seeing it around us. You've seen it in your own country. And you scratch your head and ask yourself, how did this happen? What were the intervening steps? Well, you sink into apostasy when, first of all, you forget His works. Look again in verse 13. The Bible says, 12, then believed they His words, they sang His praise. 13, they soon forgot His works. Right after the lesson this morning, I had a fellow come up and he goes, what about the Revolutionary War? When you're overthrowing a government oppression of religion, what about that? I said, well, you know, if God was really in that thing in the formation of our country, then there are times when God prescribes war to put down one and raise up another. You see it all through the Bible. And so that would answer that. And you know something, when you consider how this country got its start and you consider the reason that people came to this country to get started, to get away from religious oppression and other things, and you see the tenets of the Bible in the foundation of this country and many of the miraculous things that are done, it is amazing that you have a generation of people today that can't tell you one thing God did for this country. That's what happened in Israel. Israel had been in Egypt, and they had gone into slavery, and they cried out to God in their affliction, and God raised up Moses, and they went in that to Pharaoh and started to say, I'm talking about Moses and Aaron. They went into Pharaoh and they said, you look, now listen, Israel is the son of God. You let Israel go out into the wilderness to sacrifice unto the Lord. If you don't, we're going to send some plague. And he said, I don't know the Lord. And you guys only want to go out because you're tired of working. I'll increase your slavery. And God began to send a series of plagues into that country that are unlike anything you've ever seen. Changing water to blood, and then sending in frogs and flies and lice. Even the magicians who were imitating the first three plagues said, Pharaoh, we can't do this when this is the finger of God. You know, the man you don't know, he's working right now. And then hail and lightning and fire and blains with boils and murrain and finally the death of the firstborn children. Up before that, a darkness that was so thick you could feel it. And everybody was like, wow. And the counselors to Pharaoh said, our country is destroyed. Get these people out of here. Do you realize Israel was an eyewitness? And they went over to the Red Sea and they were being chased down by Pharaoh and his chariots. And they all cried out, what are we going to do? And Moses said, what are you crying out to me? The Lord said, what are you crying? He just get the rod, open the sea. And in one night, he opened the Red Sea and he went across on dry ground. May I tell you something? It rains here a half an inch and you're going to walk on sticky mud a day later. We're not talking about some volcano that blew up in Turkey and caused this big wind burst, and it kind of shallowed the waters a little bit, and they went through muck. The Bible says they walked over on, help me, dry ground. That's a miracle. And then they get on the other side of that thing, and Pharaoh and all his guys get in there, and the Bible says it closed up that Red Sea, and we didn't read it, but verse 11 says, the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Psalm 136, verse 15 says, even Pharaoh died in that flood. And they saw that. And they're being led by a cloudy pillar by the day and a light, a fire at night, a pillar of fire at night. And God's causing water to come out of a rock miraculously to water them and feed them and nourish them and cleanse them. And the Bible says, they soon forgot His works. You got a whole generation of people today that have no idea what God did in the formation of this country. And they're not learning it, and they've forgotten those things. And you know something? That's how you start slipping into apostasy. May I tell you something? If you're here today and you are saved, God did something miraculous in your life. And you don't ever want to forget that. Somebody said, I just don't have anything to thank God for. Thank Him for saving you. Do you realize the bondage you were in and the direction you were heading before you got saved? I'll talk to people today being in the ministry, and they say, yeah, I got saved such and such a place, and now all of a sudden they're way down here. You know what happened? They forgot the great things that God did in their lives. And that's how you go into apostasy. But that's not all. Look again in verse 13. They soon forgot His works. They waited not for His counsel. The second thing you could do after forgetting his works is you can quit seeking his counsel. You know, there's a key word in that little passage I read there. They waited not for his counsel. I realize his counsel is the key, but there's another word in there. Wait. Wait. You know what's the big problem with people? They're impetuous. You say, that's too big. They want to do what they want to do the moment they think about doing it. That's what's wrong. And it's really affected young people. And listen, we didn't help this generation by all the modern conveniences. Jump in a car, start it up, goes. You don't have to crank it anymore. You don't have to harness the horse anymore and hook it to the wagon. You just jump in, start it up, whoo, go. And you need gas, you stick gas credit card in the gas pump, get you some more gas. You got to talk to somebody on the other side of the world. Get your cell phone, dial in the number. You're talking to them. Doesn't make a difference what part of the world they're in. You want somebody to know what's going on in your life? You go to your little social network, and everybody in the world that knows you knows it. Both of them. Your universe is smaller than you think. And so with that, you think, God, I need some answers. And if you don't get an answer in 15 seconds, you're off doing what you want to do. And that's what happened to Israel. The Bible says by the time they got into the time of the judges, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. They didn't even care what God thought about it. And you know something? You're going to find yourself in a great state of apostasy if you're off making decisions and you're not consulting the counsel of the Lord to find out what it is he wants you to do. He said, well, I don't want to wait around that long to find out. You'll regret not doing it. You'll wish you'd have waited. And they didn't. You know, in this country today, they think they know what they're doing. With this economy, they think they know what they're doing with military strategies. You know absolutely what you're doing when you get on your face before the Lord and you say, God Almighty, guide us according to your will. And when you say, but we can't talk to him in our public areas of offices and schools and so forth, anything that our government is involved in, then you're not going to seek his counsel. And when you don't seek his counsel, you end up in apostasy. You see how the step goes? How about you in your own life? When you're making decisions about marriage and you're making decisions about occupations and you're making decisions about babies and you're making decisions about travel and you're making decisions about how to invest and spend your money, do you take some time to look in the Bible to see what God has to say about that? If you make decisions in your life without consulting that counsel of God and wait to find out where he's going, you know what happens? You know what happens? You start going into a phase where you quit believing his words. One of the greatest blessings that ever happened in our church here is that when I resigned from the church in Beeville, Pastor Keck called me and said, we'd like you to be members of our church. I told him I believe in being faithful. You know, it's kind of hard to go from here to Green Bay every Sunday. He said, no, we believe the Lord's going to do something with you in your life, and we want you to do it out of our church. That was a great compliment. And that was also great wisdom. He's got twice as much time in the ministry as I do. And we agreed. And you know something? This week that just passed, I was on the phone with him talking about things that concern the pastorate. Why? Because God oftentimes uses people who are close to him to help you in counsel when you can't find it for yourself in the book. You're reading, you're praying, and the Bible says in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. All purposes are established by counsel, and there is no counsel against God. You want to get with somebody that knows something about the Lord, check that thing out. It keeps you from sinking away from believing the words of God. Third thing. He says in verse 13, they soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel. But look at 14 and 15. But lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. That is a profound couple of verses right there. You know what? You will pray hard for God to bless your life. God, we sure would like to have a better house. God, I'd sure like to have a better job. God, I'd sure like to have a better mate. More money, new roof, whatever it is. And what happens is you get so used to the provisions of a God who wants to bless you that your joy in Him is not in Him, but in the blessings He gives. There's danger in that. You know why? Because pretty soon your prayer life changes. And no longer are you praying in accordance with God's will, but instead like this. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. Everything is simply now about God. What can you give me better than what I have? You know, this whole movement to prosperity preaching is nothing more than a bunch of babies that are not satisfied with the abundance they already have. They're crying out as spoiled children to a God, give me more. The Jews got out there in the wilderness. Listen, they had what they needed. There was not food that you will ever find on this earth that was more nutritious than manna. They could eat one meal a day off of that manna, and that thing sustained them through the entire day. The Bible says by the time they got out of that wilderness, their clothes didn't even stink. They didn't rot. Whatever was happening in their bodies was not defiling and corrupting the stuff they wore. It was a miraculous thing that God was doing. But you know what? It was the same thing every day. And you know something? If you give your children the same thing every day for breakfast, after a while, you know what they say? Ew. That again? And that's what they did in the wilderness. They got mad with God and said, we loathe this white bread. And plus they had water in the water. You can't have more pure water than that. The Bible says there was a rock that followed them out there in the wilderness, and the water that came from that rock came from the Lord Jesus Christ. Fresh. You're not going to have any more pure, fresh water than that. You know what? But it wasn't grape juice or apple juice or Dr. Pepper or Coca-Cola or the Uncola. You know what? I forgot about that. They wanted Egyptian food. They wanted meat. And God sent them quail, and the fat ones went after the quail. And the Bible says they're the ones that died first. Demas was a faithful servant of the Lord Jesus Christ and worked with Paul, and Paul lamented and wrote later in a letter, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. May I tell you something? All of that stuff that you want to consume upon your lust is vanity. You will be selling it in a garage sale to raise money for a youth camp one of these days. And He will send leanness in your soul. That's what happens. Lean soul. No appetite. No appetite for that. You know, our statement leading into this generation from the generation before, I've heard it. I've heard it so many times that, you know, it could be engraven in the headstone of the death of this generation. I want my children to have it better than I had it when I was a kid. And may I tell you something? You are not giving them something better than you had if you are simply loading them up with possessions and an education. Give them God if you want them to have something good. You begin fulfilling your lust as things become more important to you than anything else, and down you go. Apostasy. It's happened in this country. You've seen it all around you. It can happen in your family. It certainly happened with the Jews. But that's not all. That's not all. There's another thing. Look at verses 16 through 18. They envied Moses also in the camp and Aaron, the saint of the Lord. The earth opened up and swallowed up Dathan and covered the company of Abiram. A fire was kindled in their company. The flame burned up the wicked. You may be questioning exactly what's going there if it doesn't have any context for you. Moses was the deliverer. Moses was God's choice to get the Jews out of Egypt. He was also God's choice to be the mouthpiece for the things that God said, but Moses didn't want that responsibility, so God gave him Aaron to be the mouthpiece. And those two led Israel out into the wilderness and gave them instruction in the law of God. Dathan and Abiram were raised up in the company of a man named Korah, and they had opposition. They became envious of Moses. Who are you to take upon you all of this authority to lead us? And so they had a revolution. And Moses said, I'm going to show you something. The earth's going to do something new. Something's going to happen that's never happened before. The earth is going to open up her mouth and swallow up these rebels. And a fire will come down and consume these rebels. And so Dathan and Abiram and all their households and possessions were swallowed up in what amounted to just a cavernous, gaping consumption by the earth. And Korah and his crowd, 250 of them, were burned. The little censers they had, they used those to make a brass plate to cover the brazen altar. You know what the underlying problem was? It wasn't that Moses wasn't a good leader. They weren't going to have one better than Moses. God chose the right man. The problem with these guys is they envied him. You say, what does that mean? It's the same thing that happened with Joseph and his brothers. You remember Joseph? There were 12 boys in the family, and Joseph was a young man, and he was telling dreams that God was giving him, and those dreams basically involved down the rest of Israel bowing down and worshiping him, and they just got mad and said, we're going to see what comes of this boy's dreams. And when they had their opportunity, they sold him into slavery and then faked his death. And you know what the underlying cause was? The Bible says they envied Joseph. Now, Joseph was sent ahead by God using these strange means. He became the second ruler in the country and saved those boys' lives and their families. Jesus Christ came to this earth as a deliverer like Moses and like Joseph. And you know what the Bible says the motive of the Pharisees was in calling for the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ? They envied him. It's the same thing. Basically what it is, we don't want that guy ruling over us anymore. Who is he to take all this authority upon him? You say, so what is the point of this passage then? You go into apostasy when you envy your proper authority. You know what the proper authority is for our country? It's this Bible right here. You know what the proper authority is for our church? It's this book right here. This King James Bible. You know what the proper authority for your house is? It's this book. It's right here, that little thing. You say, my house is falling down around my ears. Where is this in your house? Where is this in your country? It's not illegal to own one of these yet. I remember, listen, when I was in high school, I went to a Christian school. When I was in high school, I remember people coming to our school and they would say to us, you better memorize that book because one of these days it may be illegal for you to own one of those. And nobody took them seriously any more than you're taking me now. One of those men that said that was Harlan Popoff. You know who Harlan Popoff is? If you don't, you ought to know. Harlan Popoff was imprisoned for his faith. He was a preacher. And, you know, it was a real blessing to be able to sit down in a chapel and have that man address us and explain those things. He lived through something his country didn't think would happen either. How does a country get into apostasy? Israel overthrew its proper authority. Who was their proper authority? God Almighty. What did they ask in exchange for the Lord? A king. Oh, God said, all right, if you're going to have a king, you're going to get a king one of these days. The king is going to be Jesus. I'll tell you what, he said, if you get a king, then here's what your king needs to do. Your king needs to write down a copy of that for himself and read it every day. Well, David authored a lot of it. Solomon was wise and understanding and knew it, but he began to stray away. And after that, you find this book gathering dust in the temple, and occasionally a man like Josiah would raise up. They'd find the book, blow the dust off of it, read it, everybody fear God, and go through one generation where they were a step closer to God than they were with the generation before them. But in the end, they were still sliding down the slippery slope of no longer living under their proper authority. That's how you end up in that. Listen, when you trade the wisdom of this world for the wisdom of God, then begins the envy and the strife and the bitterness and the confusion and every evil work. You say, how did our country get into the shape that it's in today? In the same way that Israel did. And now they will take you to court if you want to use this in the way that I'm using it now in a government organization. Isn't that strange? You throw out that authority, you get further and further from God. That's not all. Look at verses 19 and 20. They made a calf in Horeb and worshipped the molten image. Thus they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. Now that calf was probably not very big. And Aaron, he was complicit, he lied. They wanted gods to lead them back to Egypt, and Aaron says, okay, you go in there and throw your earrings in, and we'll make you some gods. And he's the one that fashioned that calf. Of course, he lied about that to Moses. He said, I threw those earrings in there, this calf came out. That's the way it usually is. Don't hold me responsible. If you ever have tried to shift blame for something that was your responsibility, you got that from a long line of very practiced individuals before you ever showed up on earth, not the least of which was your great-great-great-great-great-grandfather Adam, who blamed God and his wife for his sin. They turned to a golden calf. They wanted a God they could see. And the way you get in more apostasy with God is you turn to idolatry. You say, well, we're not idols. Look, you don't have any statues in here. There's no Mary there, Joseph there, no crucifix of Jesus there. You don't have all that going on in here. We're not idolaters. Really. Really. You know what the Bible says about idolatry? In the New Testament, covetousness is idolatry. You say, well, I'm not covetous. Oh, really? Let me talk to your husband a little while. Let him tell me what he thinks. Let me talk to your wife a little while and let me see what she thinks. We are a society whose very marketing and advertising is nothing more than covetousness. Oh, you'll go to church and you'll be in a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Bible-teaching Baptist church somewhere in the country, and I mean, as soon as that deal is over, depending on the season, man, they're talking about all the fish they catch. Man, they're talking about their favorite football team or basketball team. Man, they're talking, and I mean, right quick. I remember being in a church one time, and I finished up preaching, and some kid came up. We were talking. I mean, kid, he's like 19 years old. And somebody said, ask him anything you want to do. He can give you every stat on every major baseball player that's played in the last 20 years. And I was like, I don't even want to ask the question that's coming to mind. Like, can you quote John 3:16 maybe? I don't fault a guy for knowing some things like that, but listen. When things become important enough to you that they get between you and your Lord, they're an idol. And when you turn to idolatry, you slip farther from God and closer to full-blown apostasy. But that's not all. Look in verse 21. They forgot God, their Savior. Listen. In verse 13, they forgot his works, but they didn't forget him. In verse 21, they forgot God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt. He was totally out of their mind. And when you read through the history of Israel and you see this apostasy taking place in that country, and you watch what went on, I mean, they had no knowledge of God. They had all of their idols. They knew about Baal. They knew about Ashtoreth. They knew about Milcom. They knew about Moloch. They knew about Rimpham. They knew about all those gods and all those altars. They had no idea about God Almighty. Now, they used the name. Do you know there are all kind of people in this country right now that use the name Jesus Christ? And there are all kind of people that use the name of God. They have no clue what they're talking about. The concept of the God associated with those names is so foreign to the Bible, they are completely and absolutely different people. They forgot God. Their Savior. You say, well, there's just no way that could happen to a Christian. Don't you count on that. Don't you count on that. I was talking recently, I don't remember which service it was, and I said, be careful with your young people. Because some of them, they're old enough now, you get ready to send them off to college. And I can't tell you, I hadn't been in a college classroom in a long time. How long ago was that? 36 years? I haven't been in a college classroom. But evidently, what's going on in college classrooms today is of a spirit and nature that by the time the child starts in college and goes through college, when they get out, if they were a believer when they went in there, if they were saved and knew it, if they could even speak their faith to somebody else, by the time they get out, you're not even sure they're saved anymore. You say, well, what are we going to do? Let them grow up dumb? Some things you just can't change. No. It's what I said before, and I'll put it in here. I don't want to be so repetitive, but sometimes I found if you hit that same nail a few times, you can usually drive it in. There's colleges here. Let them live with you at home. And let them stay in their church here. Let them start going to the college and career class that'll start in July. And hold their hand through their education so that they can do whatever they're being trained to do without forgetting God, their Savior. You don't want to be asking yourself a question 4 years from now. I wonder if my child is even saved. You say, do people ask that question? More times than you care to know. They forgot God, their Savior. Do you realize that in our country, they hate God? I don't know if you knew that. You ever watch movies? Don't raise your hand. Because you won't raise your hand, and I know that you do, or you will raise your hand, and I'm not fussing you about you. I'm not fussing at you about movies. Don't get me wrong. I've seen some. Listen. There is a rule, unwritten, in the movie business. Somewhere in that movie, somebody has to take God's name in vain. They hate God. The Roman says, haters of God. Perilous times come in 2 Timothy chapter 3. They're lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. There is a movement, satanically I'm sure, to make sure this country doesn't remember God. And you know what happens to countries that forget God? Look at now, just keep your finger here because we're not through with the text. We're almost through. Psalm chapter 9. Psalm chapter 9. I am so excited that we have laborers in the harvest who speak to people about the Lord Jesus Christ in this church. I'm glad that we have Bibles being printed to be distributed in our neighborhoods to give to people to read and get to know. You know why? Because wherever we can influence our country to not forget God, I want to do that. This is Memorial Weekend. People fly flags. They say, God bless America. The World Trade Center goes down, everybody's singing, God bless America. Right? God. Isn't that strange? God bless America. Right? If you love your country, don't forget this verse. As Psalm 9, verse 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Do you know what God did to Israel when they forgot Him? He sent the Assyrians into the 10 northern tribes, and Nebuchadnezzar into the 2,000 tribes, and put them under Gentile domination completely by 600 B.C. And to this day, they are still under Gentile domination until they are on the domination of the Antichrist. And then finally, Jesus Christ will rule them. And that will have been over 2,600 years. And the rich man in Luke 16 that winds up in hell is a testimony that many of them who should have been with the Lord Jesus Christ in his millennial reign wind up in hell when they forget God. If it keeps going the way it's going and people are preaching the kind of stuff they're preaching in these rock and roll churches in our country these days, the next generation won't know God at all. So back in Psalm 106, what happened? How did they go? What were the steps leading to this kind of apostasy? Well, they forgot his works. They quit seeking his counsel. Begin fulfilling their own lust and envying their proper authorities and turning to idolatry. They forgot God, and the Bible says, verse 24, they despised the pleasant land and believed not his word. You read the book of Ezekiel, you get to chapter 20. Ezekiel gives them, straight down the line, God's going to burn you up like burning a forest. And they said, doth he not speak parables? They didn't even believe what he said. Jeremiah got up there and began to preach, and they looked at him and said, we're not supposed to go into captivity. You're against the welfare of this country. You're lying. And both of them were telling the truth. And they were paying the lying prophets to make them feel good. That's how you end up not believing his word. You go through these stages, and finally, you come up to somebody and say, I'd like to talk to you about the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Bible. Do you believe this is God's word? And they look at that and say, that was written by a man. I don't believe that. What are we going to do about that? What are you going to do about that? I'll tell you what you do about that. Verse 23. Therefore he said that he would destroy them. Had not Moses his chosen stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. You know what you do? You just keep reminding people about God and his works and his salvation and his authority and his words and his authority in their lives and the truth about the idols that they want to turn and worship. You stand in that breach. We talked about it this morning in Sunday school. You pray for all men, and you pray for those that are in positions of authority. And then in your own life, you look at these trends and you say, is there anything in these intervening steps that's taking place in my family? And if there is, get those out and go back to the works of God and go back to the words of God and stay right there. Because it's going down around your ears everywhere you turn. You say, are you discouraged? No. The more of it I see, the more quickly we'll see the Lord. But let's don't let it happen here. Somebody said to me the other day, said, oh, you guys are building another building. Whoa, that's a great blessing. I said, yeah, it's a little bit of a problem. I said, yeah, but that's a great problem to have. I said, I'll tell you, one of the problems with it that I know already in my heart, if the Lord tarries three more generations, this won't be called Bible Believers Baptist Church anymore. Moody Bible Institute, D.L. Moody, you know what it is today? It went into apostasy. You don't find them believing God's words anymore. It's all modern perversions. So how did that happen? Those intervening steps right there. You want this. I remember one time we were in Beeville. We just finished building a building. One of the fellows preached and asked all the young people under 20 years old to come to the front, put his arms out like that, and boy, they spread from wall to wall. He said, you know what we're doing? We're building this for the next generation, not having any idea the kind of problems that could intervene. You say, we're doing this for the next generation and for those who aren't saved to be saved. Bless God. We'd be better off without buildings if we're going to walk away from God. These cannot change. You don't idolize the possessions. You don't idolize the facilities. You don't turn from your proper authorities in the Word of God. We don't try to fulfill our lust in every prayer we pray. We simply stay close to the Lord, His works, His words, His salvation. Believe those. He can take care of all the rest of this. He knows what to do with it. Don't let it slide. You know what? As the country goes farther and farther this way, and as your friends go farther and farther this way, you got to stay here and kind of go this way. Stay close, or you're going to slide with them. Don't do that. Don't do that. Stay close to God. Now I realize in talking today, the Holy Spirit has done a couple of things by applying the Scriptures to stir us up. If you find in your own life that you have strayed from the Lord and let some of these things intervene in your life, listen, you can fix that problem in a moment. You can repent of that now and tell the Lord, listen, I want to get back on track with you. And you know something? Our God is merciful and long-suffering and gracious, and He will help you. The effects in your family will still be felt, but as they see you recovering, you will begin to recover some ground. Do it. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for being able to see from the Scripture how a country can go from believing the words of God to forgetting the words of God completely and no longer believing those words. God, I pray for our church. That doesn't happen. I pray for our families. That doesn't happen. I pray for our individuals. That doesn't happen. And Father, I pray for our country that even in this little area where we can keep a reminder before them. We have radio broadcasts. We have a place on the internet where they can find some things that turn them back to the Bible. Bibles going out, witnessing going out. Father, I pray that we won't lose our zeal and direction in helping this country where we can to not forget you. Now, God bless us in these efforts. I pray, Father, for these whose heads are bowed. If we have among us somebody who's lost, they never knew you, don't know your salvation, Father, I pray their hearts will be stirred to seek Jesus Christ and be saved. If they've allowed some of this apostasy to intervene, I pray, Heavenly Father, they will leave it today. And I pray for this church, Lord God, will stay close and true and under your authority for Jesus' sake. Amen.
You have been listening to an audio recording at Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our church or our radio broadcast ministry, we have two websites that are available to help you. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. For rebroadcast of our radio messages or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our radio listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you here. In the meantime, enjoy our audio sermons and radio broadcast online at either of our websites.